Morning, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. So this has been a very interesting week. You went to a meeting, a kind of a combined meeting this week, and I went to a solo meeting. The city council met, but you went to a place where there are a lot of interesting people gathered together. Do you want to start talking about that?
Well, the first meeting, this is a Tuesday, the assembly meeting, I'm assuming you're speaking about.
Right.
And it started at 4 o'clock. Actually, the day started pretty early for assembly members in general because they met with the MATSU delegation, state delegation, earlier in the day. And I did not go to that meeting, although the public could have gone. And it didn't sound like, from the comments that the assembly made at the table, that there was very good news for them there. So, starting with their own meeting, other than Mr. Culligan and Mr. George, from District 3, who were not there for either of the meetings, they started out with one sole thing on their agenda, and that was to talk about their strategic plan.
Oh.
Just something that they've kicked around and kicked around and trying to focus on what's really important in the borough and what they need to stick to as their key things. And, of course, you know, there's one strategic plan, Mike, when there's lots of money on the table, and then when finances change, it's time to take a harder look at that strategic plan. And Manager Moosey has been trying to clean this up and trying to formulate a plan. It's something he's struggled with really both all the assemblies since his tenure, trying to focus on what's important to them. And it changes. It changes with the political season, and it changes, again, like I talked to you about, with their economy. So they have it. They've had quite a long handout. It's available on the borough website talking about what their initiatives were. They zeroed in on 7 initial projects that they want to keep on their agenda. One is the completion of the rail spur. Of course, we know that's about 3/4 done out there. There is not much encouragement that there will be state money, but they have applied for some federal money. And they're hoping they'll be able to get the $125 million still needed to finish the trail spur to get it into the Houston area. So that's still on their priority list.
Okay.
Their second one is the Seward Meridian Parkway, and that's phase 2 of that parkway, trying to get it through there. That's another one that is really a state project, but it's going to take some finagling with the borough to get it done. It's come and popped up a couple of times. It's about $27 million, a little over $27 million to complete that project. The 911 system, the dispatch center, that's number 3. It falls under their healthy and safe community category.
Whoa. Pause one moment there. This is very interesting because on the 20th, I know that there'll be voting on a variety of things associated with the dispatch center. I would think that priority, given the potential for getting monies for it, I know it's not exactly the same thing, would be higher on the list. That's interesting to me.
Well, there's two things. I think there's two things. One is the $1 million to award the bid for the 911 dispatch move to the city of Wasilla.
Right.
That must be what's on the 20th.
Right.
I think this is all... this is the radio and alerting improvements. This is improvements to the city the emergency. I think it has to do with the radio system for EMS and
sure.
mapping and a lot
okay.
of other things.
That's a good clarification.
So
thank you.
That's $4.5 million. And then they've got revising and streamlining and coordinating the borough's land use and development codes. No real dollar amount on that other than staff time because that's what it comes from. And this one they really kind of struggled with, and this was identifying new revenue streams and funding methods. I think they've actually even renamed that. They didn't like the name of that Mr. Moosey had come up with, but that's where they struggled. What does that mean? Mayor Halter said, you know, people have brought up a gravel tax that's failed in the past. They brought up a sales tax that's failed in the past. And it didn't seem like really anybody at the table was ready to really dig in and figure out what that really means. They're going to need some more conversation on that. And they're going to need to talk to the community. The last two are providing a foundation for smart communities, and that's part of the IT department and trying to make the website more user-friendly so that people don't have to actually drive to the borough to do the work, that they can do a lot more stuff online. And so that's part of the technology goal there. And the last one is to develop and improve the waste management systems and facilities. And again, this is the Helen Munoz project, I tell you. And that one's $25 million. So there's no particular order to these. Those were just the seven that they evaluated. So that was about an hour and a half meeting. There's a list. They were given a list of things that have been on the priority list for quite some time that they wanted to actually start weaning off some of these things. Some of them have been completed. Some of them haven't been. Some of them just won't happen probably in the near future. Things like a satellite office in the west of the borough probably will not be happening at this point. Several Burma Road upgrades, and they took a few things on and off, but I don't think they've not really finalized that list yet. But
okay.
So that's how they drill down to that. Every one of these strategic meetings looks a little different, Mike, and this one is no different than the last ones that were different.
So this was kind of an odd meeting in that their regular meeting is on the 20th, and so this was kind of a focused meeting on just that topic before they had a joint meeting with the school board. Is that correct?
Right. So they took about a half hour break and they had dinner, and then the school board joined them again. The two assembly members that weren't at the previous meeting were not at this one as well. There was only one thing on the agenda for the school board, and that was talk of the annual budget discussion and what the state might do. Gene Stone kicked it off talking, well, I guess after Mr. Moosey kicked it off by saying, basically, for the short of things, it's unlikely that the borough will have any, considering what they've heard earlier in the day from the state and the losses that they've always already had to incur by the governor's veto on the bonding for the last five schools that we built, he thought it was unlikely without any change, if they didn't make any changes in their own mill rate or some other revenues coming in, that it was going to be extremely hard to give them any increase this year, the 3% that they're asking for. So that was sort of the kickoff of it. Gene Stone, the superintendent of schools, started by saying they now have 18,800 students, Mike.
Whoa.
Right. So I think they were about two students off from their projection. And they continue to think there'll be continued growth. They should flatten it out. They won't see the increases that they've got, but they don't anticipate that it's going to be at the rate that it has been going to. They are now officially the second largest district in the state, right up in front of, they've inched in front of Fairbanks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the impacts of the governor's veto to them. They did get some of it back because of the wording and the language, but they're still about a $1.3 million short in that, and they are going to dig into their reserves to fill that. That had to do with the transportation veto that was done. And then Luke Phelps gave a really good presentation, again, as he always does, on their budget that they're forming, getting ready to roll out for public view, and also their school board to sign off on. He reminded people that about 75% of the borough or the school budget comes from the state, and only about 25% comes from the borough. And then there's a small sliver of federal funding there. So they don't have the ability, some school districts do, ours doesn't, they don't have the ability to raise taxes or to ask the voters for any particular increase in funding. They're all dependent on both the borough and what the state allocates to them. So they expect to be at a deficit. They've got reserves from the last couple of years they've been able to save to fill in some of it, but they're still going to, the long term, after this year, they're going to be in deficit spending too. So they're right along with everybody else. They are also don't anticipate any raises, but they are negotiating with all four labor groups. So they've got a lot on their plate this year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
So that kind of was the sort of that. They talked, you know, all the assembly members had a little bit to say about it. You know, they did ask what would happen, what he anticipate would happen if they didn't get the increase from the borough or there were further cuts from the state. And he said, you know, at a $10 million deficit is what we're expecting. That's ideally, you know, around 100 teachers. Now, we don't expect to, we're not saying we're going to lay off 100 teachers, but that's just what it equates to. So they're in a wait-and-see stance, Mike. We've been here before.
Whoa. So I was curious, the manager, the borough manager, was away. I think he was in Washington, D.C. for the regular borough meeting that happened. Did he give any report at all at this meeting about what happened when he went off?
No, he didn't really. Now, that may come up more at their own meeting, since this was a joint meeting. I think that there was talk with he did have a letter at the back of the assembly room, a letter that has been drafted in support signed by all of our legislators in support of federal funding for the completion of the rail spur.
Okay.
I think that may have been the focus. There was no discussion on your favorite topic.
The ferry.
But I suspect that they are going to, that may come up in his full manager report, which will happen next Tuesday at their last meeting of the year.
Okay.
They did make an introduction for public hearing at that particular one, an ordinance amending the general standards for marijuana-related facilities. And this may be, I didn't pick it up, but I haven't read it yet, but I think this may have something to do with the problem that's come up with some type of an issue in Talkeetna.
Right. I was there at the last assembly meeting, and in fact, there are a couple of interesting topics that there are three that come to mind just looking ahead to the meeting on the 20th. One, that you brought up the issue or concern about marijuana, there are some people up in Talkeetna who have noted that the particular status of downtown Talkeetna does not allow for the kind of local input as far as the location of retail establishments involving marijuana. And that seemed to be, the suggestion was this was an oversight and it needed to be corrected. So my understanding, in last week's Valley Edition, we had Philip Manning from KTNA talk to it. And he described the issue. I won't go over it all in detail, but sufficient to get the attention of the assembly. And I suspect that that's the focus, and that's one of those issues. The second thing that's going to be actually it's the biggest deal because it has potential for affecting so many people. Has to do with the finalization of the move of the dispatch center to Wasilla. This has been in process for a long time. There had been originally, as I remember it, some suggestion that it would be done. The actual transfer would be over by the end of 2016. And as we know, that has not happened. They have yet to actually approve the contract, which has, I think, finally been agreed to in principle. And we should see that happen. But the actual doing of it may take all of 2017, because I know, having attended the City of Palmer's council meeting, that the city manager from Palmer has been authorized to negotiate a 12-month contract with the borough to continue offering the services until the transfer occurs. So the question of, are some people being optimistic? And question finally about in the sense of is it going to be done in 6 months or will it take 12 months? It's a pretty sophisticated transfer. It is also against the background of, is there enough money to pay for this change? And so that will be a much looked at set of decisions, both approval of the contract with Wasilla and also a contract with the City of Palmer.
Last that I heard anything on it, this has been fairly recently, so this could or may or may not have changed, but is that they were hoping for 6 months to have it done and up and running by June.
Well,
heard that 6 months projection a few times, Mike. So
yeah, and that's where I'm pointing out that if you went to the two meetings, you're here as I did. I think that's still the difference there. The City of Palmer was very clear. It was very clear in looking towards 12 months is what we'd like to have as a contract, because these 6 months things are disruptive. And they have not proven to be accurate in the past. So we'll see. I think that's going to be an interesting play, the whole negotiations around that, two parts. One, finally approving the contract, and two, coming to agreement with the City of Palmer, which is bridging this all over.
Well, and I also, it'll be interesting to find out if they go over the amount that they've bid, which,
Yes, that's.
So who fills that hole? Does the City of Wasilla fill that hole, or is that going to go back to the borough? You would seem to be the City of Wasilla must do that, but
yeah.
And in fact, Mayor Cottle should be a little nervous, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the 20th is going to be a great meeting. I think that's going to be a very interesting thing, because there's a third topic, the one that caught my attention from the last regular assembly meeting, and that had to do with the question of if there's an LID proposed, does that immediately mean that the borough notifies financial agencies about that, and then will that have an effect on the owner of a property that, in the case that was presented to the assembly, was going for a refinance and had some turbulence because of that? I did not hear a convincing presentation by the assistant manager or the assistant attorney that the staff had, yes, here was the action taken and it followed along with the code. I know there's going to be a report and a discussion about that also on the 20th to say maybe either the people in charge did not follow the code, or it needs revision, because the ironic part of the whole thing was the assembly was voting to deny the three LIDs because there weren't enough people that had agreed to have them. So this was fascinating, and it has many dimensions. Hopefully there will be a simple, clear answer. We'll move on, or maybe, as is many things, it's a little more complicated. So if you picked up on any other topics that are likely to be hitting either the school board, I know they're going to be involved in their budget and all, or the assembly in the near future.
I haven't looked at the agenda. Have you looked at the 20th agenda yet?
No, I've been focused on things that I'm very much aware of will be happening, and of course I'm curious, since neither of us attended the meeting with the legislators, and there are new faces there, and a whole new legislative body actually in the House, particularly to look at the relationship between the borough and the legislature may be evolving. But as I understand, they're still retaining John Harris as a lobbyist. Is that true, or was that you mentioned that?
It didn't come up, but it seemingly Moosey and Mr. Harris have a good working relationship.
Okay.
So, not unexpected. Now, they did cut their own budget a little bit, travel budget, but they left enough in there, and this was earlier when they were making some obvious cuts, that to be able to go to Juneau and do their own thing, so to speak. So I expect they, at least the mayor and maybe a couple of legislators, to make, you know, trips down there.
Okay. Yeah. That seems, still seems, the personal connection still seems to have value, whether you're going to Washington, D.C. or to Juneau. But as we enter the last meeting, this should be the last meeting for the assembly, I think it would be worth either attending or listening to, because there are a whole bunch of things coming to fruition, if you will. All right.
Yeah, I'm looking through their through things right now, and it doesn't look like it's very heavy. But they can, they have till the end of the day to make changes on it. And you and I both know, Mike, that anytime there's marijuana on the agenda, it brings out all kinds of people. I listened to the last assembly meeting that is archived on Radio Free Palmer's website, and there was a few speakers in opposition to what's happening in Talkeetna already, it sounded like.
Yes, and of course, since the rest of the state is moving ahead, Anchorage has joined in with all of the other major urban areas. That, interesting enough, coming late to the game, however, after Valdez and Kenai and Juneau and Fairbanks, but is in play as a place where marijuana is available. The borough is still moving along at what appears to be a measured pace. And we're just, it'll be interesting now that there is experience, and the state has established its guidelines, just and we've had not one, but two votes that cover the area, just what is going to happen so that, there will be a notice of a retail establishment, which will be selling in the borough. So,
right. Yeah. Well, I just answered one of our questions, Mike, looking at the draft of the agenda for next Tuesday is online. As I said, they have till the end of the day to actually make changes on it, but it does have in here an action memorandum to authorize an extension for the City of Palmer for emergency 911 dispatch for January 1st until December 31st.
There we go. Yeah.
So they're awarding it to Wasilla, but they're not it's not going to happen as fast as what everybody envisioned.
Okay. Well, Citizen Lobbies.
That must help a lot with the City of Palmer's budget.
Yeah. Just from a standpoint of management and doing good work.
Knowing.
Yeah, yeah. That helps a lot.
Has the City of Palmer finalized this budget? They're coming on a deadline, aren't they?
It's all done. It's done. They have met for the last time in 2016. They approved the budget. It's done. It's moving, and they're off to the races, and they're pretty happy with what they've done. Made a few little adjustments and so on, but basically what we would call is a standard budget, tuning things up a little bit, paying attention to the details, but they feel pretty confident at the moment that they're in good shape.
And of course, this is Nate Wall, manager of Nate Wallace's first full budget of his own.
Yes, it is. Yes,
and he must have done a good job in getting it through quickly and efficiently.
I would say it's safe to suggest he's a happy guy right now. Yeah.
Oh, good.
All right.
They should be happy. The City of Palmer should be happy with the results of Colony Christmas too.
Wonderful.
Last summer,
wonderful
right?
time, wonderful time. Yes, and the council members spoke to that. Many of them had been there, and it just was good. It was a good time. Yeah, we're feeling pretty good. Okay,
yeah.
We're feeling pretty good, Citizen Lobbyists. Thank you for taking the time today, and stay warm out there. And if you're driving anywhere, be careful, because we're looking at slick roads and the beginning of some warming temperatures that may produce precipitation.
Yep, and snow on the way, they say.
Yep, that's it. Okay, take care now.
Bye-bye.